Okay, it's time for Jackie Reed to go inside her story. Normally, she'd be next hour, but because of Roland covering the convention, Jackie Reed is up early this morning from our New York studios up in Harlem. Good morning, Jackie Reed. Inside her story.
Good morning, Tom, Sybil, and Jay. Boy, I was up late last night for the Democratic National Convention. The party kicked off its convention in Philadelphia with dynamic speakers, including our First Lady, Michelle Obama. And how amazing was her speech? I loved every minute of it. Well, tonight is a party to celebrate Hillary Clinton's nomination for president continues. We will hear from a special group of mothers, Tom, the mothers of Sandra Bland, Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, and other African Americans killed by police or gun violence. They're being called the Mothers of the Movement. I'm going inside her story this morning with Geneva Reed Veal, mother of Sandra Bland, who was found dead in her jail cell 3 days after being arrested. We all know that story. Police say Sandra committed suicide, but her mother and countless others, Tom, believe that that is a lie. Also joining me this morning is Mrs. Reed Veal's attorney, Cannon Lambert. Good morning to you both.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Really
good morning.
Well. Happy you guys can join us. Now, listen, Mrs. Reed Veal, you, as I said in my introduction, along with many others, never believed your daughter committed suicide. And now there seems to be a new report out this week in which the corrections officer who claimed he found Sandra dead was lying. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, we can barely hear you.
Oh, I can barely hear you. Can you speak up or move closer? Okay. Or Mr. Lambert, can you jump in here?
Yes, I'm here as well, but I'll let her go ahead and field the question first.
Okay.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I've been saying it from day one, and I keep telling everybody, I still don't believe she killed herself, but now it's all coming out.
It's her. It's
okay,
connection.
Mrs. Reedville, you have
a
bad connection.
It's a three-way
while
connection.
We try to fix that, Mr. Lambert, can you go ahead and answer this question while we try to fix her connection, if you don't mind?
Sure. Sure. I would just say this, that with respect to what we're learning that there are a lot of inconsistencies about what's been shared. One of the things that we've always wanted to do is try and drill down to what actually transpired. And I know, you know, listen, the family's always said from the outset they're willing to accept whatever actually took place. They just want to be shown. And as it relates to the guard who has who we've identified to have not accurately transcribe what actually took place. You know, that's a reveal that, you know, that's concerning, obviously.
And what about what has come about in terms of the alleged lies that the sheriff's official has admitted to?
Well, that's part of it, right? One of the officers that was a jailer there, you know, submitted forms to the Texas Jail Commission indicating that a check on Sandy took place when in reality it did not, and we've been able to establish that that's the case.
Now, where are you with this case? Will we see it go to trial? Did you all actually file a wrongful death lawsuit?
Yes, ma'am, we did. We filed a wrongful death lawsuit nearly a year ago. And where we are currently is that we are in the process of discovery where we're getting information through deposing or talking to the jailers and other witnesses. It's our expectation, short of there being some sort of overture, that if the case will go to trial, because ultimately speaking, we're going to do everything we possibly can for this family.
Do you have any idea at this point, Mr. Lambert, what actually happened? If you all believe that she did not, Sandra did not commit suicide, do you have any idea what actually happened that led to her death?
You know, so much of the frustration is that for nearly 9.5 months, because of the way that that the police kind of dealt with things, and because of the way that, frankly, the court system is in general, we were precluded from involving ourselves or engaging in an investigation. So for roughly 9 months, there's a window in time that we were not able to delve into things. And that means people's memories wane. That means that people move. You lose information that could be critical and the like. So to the extent that we will be looking to try and tell the story as to what happened, we'll do everything we can, but we're kind of limited by the information that's available.
Okay, can I see if Miss Reed Veal is her connection is better? Are you there, ma'am?
I am here, and it sounds like at the hotel I have quite a bit of static in my mind, quite a bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's
can you hear me?
Barely.
Barely.
We got the volume all the way up.
Is there any way you could hang up and call back in separately?
Yes.
Okay, absolutely. Could you do that?
I'll do that right now.
And okay, thank you. So, well, Mr. Lambert, while we still have you here, you know, Mrs. Reedville will speak at the DNC tonight along with some other mothers whose children were killed at the hands of police officer or gun violence. Since there are so many of these cases, you know, going on across the country, and it just seems like every time we turn around, there's another one. Do you all get together as lawyers to try to share resources or anything like that? Because there have to be so many attorneys that are working on these separate cases.
There's no question about that. You know, I think what's so frustrating is that this is happening to our community.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we have I think most of us have an extraordinary desire to try and service our community. And to that extent, anytime you're able to avail yourself of other resources or offer other resources, you try. I think, you know, for example, Harry Rogers Jr., who's a phenomenal lawyer who has his own office and who I interact with on a regular basis, is also participating in this case here. You know, I consider him.
Now his connection.
Let me ask you, when Ms. Reedville is there, you guys let me know. But Mr. Lambert, let me ask you about this, because, you know, Ms. Reedville is she is really remarkable. And all of these mothers seem to have emerged as voices and leaders in the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, involuntarily. You know, unfortunately, their children die, and now they become these community leaders. What can you tell us about what you've observed about this particular mother and her strength in light of, you know, the death of her daughter?
It's staggering, frankly. You know, I have had the fortune of being around these extraordinary people who have been put in situations that they never would have asked for. And to see how they allow themselves to be the vehicle for change and be willing to speak for the thousands of people who are similarly situated, it just is unbelievable. It really is.
It is unbelievable. I don't know if I could do it.
I say that to her all the time.
Man,
I say that to it's just amazing.
To all the mothers,
and these are the ones, Tom, that are
and
the
fathers.
Mothers of Trayvon Martin, Sandra Bland, Eric Garner, Jordan Davis, and Dontre Hamilton are just among a few who will be speaking tonight at the Democratic National Convention before the audience there. They're being called the mothers of the movement. I wish that we could have had Ms. Reedville.
Hello.
And here we are at the end. We look forward to what you have to say tonight. Who called you to ask you to speak?
Hillary's camp.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton.
Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time, but we look forward to hearing you tonight, and we will be tuned in for that.
Yes.
Thank you both.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Right, thank you very much.
God bless you. Yes.
Yeah, she's a dynamic woman. We'll have to have you back.